Women. Women and the gospel and women and the people of God. You might remember, there's an off chance that you remember that the Gospel of Luke, when we started this and talked about the introduction, we talked about how the gospel, which just means good news, how the good news, according to Luke, is really the gospel for outsiders. Good news for people who are just sort of pushed to the fringes of society. Good news for people who are maybe counted as not quite as important as somebody else. Good news for people who are perhaps overlooked, maybe even squished down and held captive. And in many ways, the women in Jesus' day, and I would suppose a good case could be argued, the women even today, even in the midst of the people of God, are maybe a bit feel like the outsiders, maybe a bit restricted, maybe not counted quite as much as others might be. What's interesting is that in spite of Luke's highlighting women throughout his Gospels, and he really does, if you've got the eyes to see it, it's really quite amazing how they sort of are just there. But in spite of that, it's amazing for me how people like me, preachers like me, and I suspect not just like me, but how easy it is to overlook even these readings in the Bible. The passage that we're going to look at today, as Laurel mentioned to you, really starts out and is one of these passages that deals really quite significantly with women, but is so often glossed over. Ben Wetherington, a New Testament scholar who actually teaches at Asbury, where I graduated, he said this in about this passage. Luke 8, chapter 8, verses 1 through 3, has the somewhat dubious honor of being one New Testament pericope. Pericope is just a fancy word for a chunk of scripture. Okay, that's all that means. It's somewhat the dubious honor of being one of the New Testament pericope that has received no treatment in any scholarly journal in the last 100 years. That's really quite rare. Since this passage has much to say about the role of women in the itinerant ministry of Jesus, we should examine its literary and historical context. That sounds really exciting to do that, doesn't it? For weirdos like me, it kind of is, actually. I just kind of, oh, but I know. I can't help it. But we should examine these things and make comments on its content and purpose. I have to confess that very often I have glossed over this passage because what comes next, as we all know, it's just one of those famous passages of Scripture. It's one of those things that we learn very young as a child because, you know, Sunday school teachers can make models and we can put it in there and stuff. But it's so easy to gloss over this. So I think it's important today that we slow down and notice some important women and ask, what is it that we can learn from them? And see how their example actually sets up the parable, the story that Jesus tells. So let's see what it says. After this, Jesus traveled about from town to town. That's what he meant by itinerant. It meant when Jesus sort of wandered around. He didn't stay just in one place. That's itinerant. It means he's here for a while, and then he goes on to the next little village, off to the wilderness, next little village. After Jesus traveled around from town to town, one village to another, he proclaimed the good news, or he proclaimed the gospel of the kingdom of God. The 12 were with him, and also some women who had been cured of evil spirits and diseases. Mary, called the Magdalene, from whom 7 demons had come out. Joanna, the wife of Chuza, the manager of Herod's household. Susanna, and many others. The very first thing, and what Luke wants to underscore throughout his whole gospel, is simply the good news that the gospel, oh, sorry, I missed the part. These women were helping to support them out of their own means. Luke wants us to understand that the gospel, the news of Jesus, is good news equally for all people, no matter who they are. And so we see this right here. I mean, first of all, for women in general. And the esteem that Jesus allows them, which other rabbis often would not in this time. You go on and it says that these women were listed, and then it says, and many others. And you know, it just shows my bias. You know, when I read that, I've always read, you know, and many others. Okay, there was the 12, and then there's four or five women, and many, many other people. But really what it means is there were many other women that were part of this group that followed Jesus around. They name a few, two or three, that are in kind of a standout because they're probably well known in the community at that time. But there was a bunch of women that carried on with them because women were important to Jesus. Now, we know that there were women of wealth who would support rabbis, not just Jesus, but people, women that had means and they'd support other rabbis, but they did not become disciples. They did not become part of the group that sat at the rabbi's feet and learned with him and were part of the important inner circle that he had. And they certainly didn't travel with them, which would be, in the eyes of many people, absolutely scandalous. But you see, Christ's love and Christ's care for all people is such that he didn't care about scandal. And so all women were invited to be participants in the good news of Jesus. But did you notice, not only does he sort of mention that all women, and so to say, hey, you women are important, it's not just that you're on the side, we're not doing what the rabbis did, this rabbi is different. But the women that he had were quite a range of women there. I mean, remember this passage for